reading at verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to do my work, or to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you, and he does that to act according to his purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I didn't run or labor for nothing. But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. May God just help us to understand those brief words that we've got here given to us this morning. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you that they are your power unto salvation, that they speak into our hearts, they challenge us, and they give us encouragement. So Lord, as we think just for a few moments this morning about some of these things, and perhaps as preparation for coming to communion today, we might indeed learn what you are saying to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one winter about 30 years ago, I can remember in my Auckland parish having a very heavy cold during the winter season. And one of my elders told me to go to the local gym, and get yourself some degree of fitness. Well, I lined up at the gym and I saw all these girls in their tight leered hearts, because it was quite a fancy thing in those days. And I sort of plundered around like the great white whale at the end of the class, and did weights and then did aerobics, and that had to be a sight. And it sort of worked out. And I have been to a gym sort of off and on for years, but mostly I have to confess that this year it's been far more off than on. But it's probably not necessary anyway, because as you can see, I am in great shape. Round as the shape. It's true, I think, that many people are passionate about keeping fit physically. Although I suspect it may be a wee bit easier for some of you folk to keep fit than it does for me, because being out and doing physical stuff is something that you do day in and day out, and particularly at this time of the year when you run around chasing lambs or whatever, you get reasonably fit. Now, Paul was quite concerned that those at Philippi were people who could be positively encouraged. And he knew that just as people need to be physically have some degree of fitness, so there's an even greater need to be spiritually in tune with God. And I think one of the sad things is this, that often it's only when something goes wrong in our lives that people wake up to themselves and realize, perhaps, that they need to do something about it. For example, a person who realizes far too late that heavy smoking has caused them lung cancer. Far too late. Or spiritually, perhaps, when a loved one dies and those who are left behind don't have the resources to be able to cope with that situation. We've left it too late, and so very often in our spiritual walk, that is true as well, that we leave it longer than we should have been leaving it in order to come and have that relationship with God that is a vital relationship. And Paul's encouragement to the church at Philippi, as we see it here, arose out of the example, the wonderful example that Jesus had given to them, particularly in reference to living like Jesus, the humble living of Jesus, as he came and lived amongst us, the example that he gave to us all. Therefore, he says, as we come to verse 14, he says, therefore, because you've had this example, therefore, because you know Jesus, I want you, dear friends, to keep on keeping doing the things that you were doing when Christ and I were with you. When I was with you, I encouraged you. The time is perhaps coming when I won't be with you any longer. I knew that you obeyed and followed the Savior in days gone by. When I was with you, you did as you were told. You had that spiritual dynamic, that spiritual touch with Jesus. And I want you to think how that was, he says, and how still is. Even although I'm not here to stir you up, he says, I want you to be as diligent now as you were when I was actually there to encourage you. Jesus has given you the example, he said. You're not doing too bad at the moment. You haven't slipped drastically. But the encouragement to you is not to slacken off in your efforts. The Message version says, better yet, redouble your efforts. Redouble your efforts. One of the easiest things for us to do, if we've been a Christian for quite a while, is to just start coasting in our Christian walk. Paul is saying, don't just coast. Get that energy, that spirit-filled energy back to keep you going on your Christian walk. Because he implies, if you don't, you're going to lose something of that spiritual sharpness that you once had. I guess you might have all heard this story. It's a story about a violinist, a virtuoso, who was asked once why he felt it necessary to practice so long and so often every day. And he said, if I stop practicing for one day, I can tell the difference. If I stop for a week, my family can tell the difference. And if I don't practice for a whole month, my audience can tell the difference. And that's true of us as well. We need a daily walk with Jesus. And I know we say we don't have time to do this and that. One of my favorite authors is a guy called Andrew Bonner. He lived about 100 and something years ago. Some of the hymns in the hymn book by his brother Horatio Bonner have been sung down through the years. And I've got a book that was given to me on my 21st birthday. It is the diary and life of this fellow, Andrew Bonner. And it just reads like a diary. And I was always impressed by the amount of praying this guy used to do. Until I discovered that he rode on horseback. And he prayed from one parishioner to the next while he was on horseback. And what am I saying there is that none of us have an excuse for not having that relationship with God, because we can have that relationship wherever we go. It's a daily walk, and it does make a difference. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, talks about the church at Ephesus that Jesus visited, one of the seven churches in Asia. And he said that church, when he was addressing them, you've got lots of good things going, you've been honest, you've been diligent, you've been very orthodox, he said, but you have lost that first love that you once had, that excitement that you once had when you first came to faith, gone. And he says, repent and get back to that state that you were in previously. And so we must work out our own salvation. We can be orthodox, but out of touch with the living Jesus. We work out our salvation. We apply the teaching of Christ to our daily life. And it'll produce the fruit of the Spirit, of course. Find in Galatians, love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And he says there that as you live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let's seek to continue to work out our own salvation wherever God has placed us. And I think when we see those sort of things, we see that the shallowness sometimes, and I'm speaking to myself here, I know the shallowness of our own faith, it shames me. It's not something trivial. And that must be a continual, ongoing process, as we learnt last week. And it will only be completed when we get to eternity. And that's what we are called to do. To be seeking to live closer to Jesus. We're not alone in this, because as it said, Paul says here, God gives us the energy. His energy. His spirit to help us out. He's encouraging us. He's not saying you go it alone. You've got your part to play. But what he does say is that he is our coach. He is the one who is with us. And that's all positive. That's an encouragement. Because we know that he is with us. To encourage us and to help us. Based on the example of Jesus himself. But, and there's always a but, there is a gentle negative warning here. I think it's fairly gentle. Actually, it's an encouragement, I guess, of a different kind. Well, Paul says, don't do anything with any grumbling or any arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, like children of God without fault, in a warped and in a crooked generation. He said to them, you have become like a breath of fresh air, and you will stand out in the squalid and polluted society in which we're living, the materialistic society which we're reading all about in the politics of the current day. Now you'll recall that Paul was in prison here, and he was probably facing death, and he was concerned that they would not be a church that would buckle when the going got tough. And that's why last week we saw a plea for unity. That they would stand together as a church, as a witness for Jesus Christ in their community. Now he's saying, don't grumble, don't argue, don't spoil the progress that you've made. Now if we think of a spiritual exercise, we know that arguing and grumbling is like body fat that's going to slow us down in our Christian walk. And it'll slow us down in our witness if we're continually grumbling or arguing or gossiping even. Paul says, get rid of it. It's a hindrance to the witness of the church. And I think no less today than when Paul was talking about here. You remember, of course, how the people of Israel, when they were going out of Egypt into the promised land, took them a long time. They gristled in the wilderness. Even to the point they said, it would be better for us to go right back to Egypt, because at least we got some decent food there. I know it's a tough ask in some situations, I know that. But after all, as the scripture says, we're in the state of warfare against the world, the flesh and the devil. And it's a life task to cope with the pressures that are there, no matter who we are or where we work. We don't journey alone. God works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. The other apostle Peter said it so well in 2 Peter 1. He said, so don't lose a minute of building on what you have been given. Complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities, Peter said, active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet, no day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our master plan in Jesus Christ. He said, if you don't have those sort of qualities, you'll be oblivious to your own spiritual life. Your own sinful life will become something that increases in your life without you even realizing it. Doing this as a witness, friend, It provides people with a glimpse of good living, and it points people towards the Savior himself. We're described elsewhere as the light of the world that dispels darkness. And so we ask ourselves, what is our example life like? How do other people read us? What is our example? What should we be doing? The Sunday school teacher once asked, boys and girls, what's the first message of a missionary should teach us cannibals? One bright pupil said to be vegetarians. So the challenge for the future is the place where we will spend the rest of our time from now onwards. How are we living even now for eternity? That, says Paul, is a great outcome. Carry on. Continue to shine. It's not wishful thinking. He said, I didn't do all this work for nothing. I didn't go right round Asia on 3 or 4 missionary journeys just to fill in the time. There's nothing more satisfying for a preacher than to see people growing in their faith. And that's not something that necessarily happens easily. It's not just a course that we do, a bit like an Alpha program or a spiritual gift survey. And now, don't get me wrong, those courses are fine. But it must be more than that. Courses can stimulate for a time, but there's no replacing the continuous devotional life that Paul is trying to engender amongst his people here. It's part of our everyday life in order to grow more like Jesus. The alternative, as I suggested, is to go cold. Just to run out of steam, and sometimes it's so insidious that we don't even see it happening. I love the words of Jesus to another one of those churches in Asia, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. He says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other. Because you are lukewarm, he said, neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. I love preaching on that in Indonesian, because the word for lukewarm is swam swam cuckoo. And I used to think all these people are cuckoo because they are trying just simply to get through life with the minimum of effort. Lukewarm. Christ says, I would sooner you were nothing. I would sooner you were cold. At least I can do something with cold people. But I want you even more to be on fire for the Lord. Not lukewarm, but shining as stars for all to see. And that's why Paul could say that he was thrilled with these people, because they were like shining stars. I'm not going to say any more than that this morning. This morning we're sharing together in communion, of course. And we do so rejoicing and remembering all that Christ means for us. All that he accomplished on a cross for our salvation so many years ago. And as we come and share together at this table, we're reminded of the challenge to be unified in fellowship with him and with each other. Therefore, Paul says to the church at Rome, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. There will be mature and in great shape, spiritually fit for Christian service, he said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew, but also to the Gentile. And as we come to the Lord's table this morning, we think about that as we meditate, and as we share together in the sacrificial meal. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we know how simple it is to turn away from you, how we can just go through the motions, how we can just be doing this and that and the next thing, making money even perhaps, and doing important things. But Lord, sometimes we confess that we have lost touch with your spirit, and we have lost that sense of joy as we have become weary in well-doing. So Lord, stir us up again, we pray today, and particularly as we come to the Lord's table. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.